Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Welcome to episode 433 of This Week in League. I'm Nate.
And I'm Jay.
And I'm Glenn.
How you going, fellas?
Fantastic.
Yeah, that's good.
The team didn't lose on the weekend.
That's true. Oh. Got to be in it to win it, but sometimes it helps if you're not.
See, here's the thing.
They are losing every day in the papers, though.
I was going to say, categorically, I don't think there's any way for you to say that. Because the West Tigers would have done something over the weekend, and whatever that was, they would have lost at it.
Well, that's a little harsh. They didn't play. Also puts pay they didn't play in their chosen sport, which is what I've been.
Okay, so what you're saying that this weekend? So Glenn, this weekend you're saying that that in fact, despite popular opinion, the West Tigers were not in fucking game
this weekend. No, they most certainly were not in a game.
Sack Madge, he fucking tells.
He's a liar. He lies. He's a compulsive liar.
Madge has been exposed. Get him out of there. And Pasco. Fuck.
The West Tigers were not in a game involving the Roosters and the Titans. Nor any other teams.
Yes. Yeah. And, you know, let's face it, that was their best case scenario. let's be real. On their bestest of best days. It was really just the Roosters because, I mean, the Knights even had a short break between them and eighth. So, you think Tigers would have done better than the Titans did?
Oh, it would have been more entertaining.
Why would it have been more entertaining than a fucking thrilling one-point game that was literally live until the very last play of the match? Why would it have been more entertaining?
The last play of the match would have been even more embarrassing had the Tigers been involved. We know this. It's written.
I think that Knoffel would have scored. Knoffel would have scored down that wing and it would have brought the final scoreline to 25-6.
No, it would not. Because that game was live, as you said, all the way till the last play. And so there was no trash time. So there was no opportunity for Knoffel.
Did you hear him say the West Tigers would have lost 25-6?
Yeah, Knoffel would have scored on the last play of the game. Yeah. Because who's going to kick the goal from out there for the Tigers? Yeah, I mean, because Dewey'd still be injured, so it'd be 25-4.
It was actually probably more likely, if you look at it, for Luke Brooks to run 80 metres right after the siren and then have it called back.
25-0.
How good you're still talking about the Tigers.
You brought this shit up.
I did.
You brought up the Tigers. You invoked the name of the cursed side.
Now, we need to get into this shit because I am currently running on the wonders of Western medicine. So, because I believe in science, as I have absolutely fucked my back today, I have taken things prescribed to me from a pharmacist. And I'm not counting on crystals and bay leaves to heal me.
Slipped a vertebrae trying to suck yourself
just
off.
Was it? You were trying to suck yourself off, weren't you?
No.
What were you doing? Were you actually at the gym when you did it?
Yeah, I was at the gym.
Trying to suck yourself off. Jeez, that's awkward.
What were you doing? What did you do to fuck it?
Sorry.
What did you do to fuck it though?
I was doing. Lateral raises. I was working my shoulders.
Okay, so you just got yourself in the wrong position with your back when you were doing that.
Like, I have to build my shoulders up just carrying you cunts the whole year.
Well, I dare say that. I mean, every time I talk to you, as much as you think you are, you should be fucking yoked. You should be like Dorian Yates.
Exactly. Every time you fucking come on this show, you tell us that you've been to the gym and you're still built like a fucking accountant. So train harder, cunt.
That's actually. Hilariously, a compliment.
I'm sure because, it is compared to how you're actually built.
Because when he started, he was like built like an accountant at fucking Dallas Buyers Club.
No, you've inadvertently just told me I'm built like a porn star. Because that's the new code word for people who fuck for a living, is they're an accountant.
Hey, however you want to splice it and dice it, that's great. Anyway, can you ask, speaking of that, Nathan, can you ask your wife if she got my text message about doing my tax? Interesting segue, but whatever.
I believe she got your air quotes text messages about air quotes your tax. Yes,
because she's an air quotes accountant.
Oh, have we got any listeners in the tax office?
Because
that'd be fucking hilarious if there was a Blakely audit.
Yeah, fucking bring it on.
It wouldn't. Oh, look at him. He's so fucking tough until fucking they're crawling through his fucking through the shoeboxes in his cupboard looking for receipts for shit.
Yeah. 9,000 boxes of Kleenex as a business expense.
9,001. And what about this moisturizer? What's that all about?
A leather belt.
I just thought
Box of Mars bars. For
tears, Glennie.
What's that, sorry?
Right. Anyway, I would have said that the tissues were more for the tears.
No, it's for fucking jacking that off.
That was right. What I was implying.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. So, given that the clock's ticking and you're about to collapse, shall we talk about some games? The first week of the finals, and what a great round of matches it was. The first one on Friday night, I was up there, and I tell you, everything worked out perfectly except for the game itself. I knew the traffic would be an absolute fucking dog getting up there, so I left early, like 4 or something like that, to get up there. And we got up there quite early, got there about 5:30, and actually had a good run with the traffic. Shout out to Minyama Mackers, who gave us tons of packs of Pokemon cards without buying too many Happy Meals, so we had a fucking great start to the day, and then the game happened. Although the game, Sunshine Coast Stadium did rule itself out, at least for now, temporarily, as being somewhere that could support large-scale games. I think their capacity, it says here that the crowd was 9,120, but I heard it was sold out, and I thought their capacity was more like 12, but for this game, they actually built like two sort of scaffolding stands that extended the main stand, and uncomfortable as fuck those stands were, let me tell you, because I was in one of them. But as we get through to the gate, we get into the express line, which is the line to get your ticket scanned that isn't if you have a bag to be checked or something like that.
Yeah.
And our line's just not fucking moving. I'm like, well, what the fuck is going on with the express line? And then someone walks down the line or all the lines and said, yeah, all of the Ticketek scanning machines on this gate have gone down. So we can't scan your tickets at the moment. And I think it caused a massive backlog because I saw some other people on Twitter saying they didn't get into the fucking game until like 10 minutes in and stuff like that. We got in fine because we were there early. But the ground was a treat, though. There was a picture. It was full. And good crowd. And unfortunately, though, the Melbourne Storm 40 defeated the mighty Manly Seagulls 12. 40 points to the Storm came through tries to Pappenhausen, a double. Lume, Bromwich, Welch, and Justin Olam. Pappy, 5 conversions, 2 penalty goals, and a 2-point field goal, which is probably the high watermark for disrespectful field goals. Perhaps only challenged by the Paul Gallen one just because it was fucking Paul Gallen doing it. But this Pappenhausen one, he was fucking up there. And just for the record, it was definitely qualifies as a disrespectful field goal. I mean, we had that discussion last week with the Milford.
Milford
kicking one when it was really just the ice game. This one, the game was fucking iced 60 minutes prior, so there was no doubt about it. It definitely qualified as fucking as disrespectful. And it looks like Pappy's back anyway. And he's not rattled anymore. He's not listening to the fucking constantly as he's playing the game anymore. And looks like he's somewhat approximating his best. I mean, it's definitely much to the detriment of Nicho Hynes
for sure.
Now, if the Sharks were trying to sign him, I'd say they'd probably get him for less than they actually spent. Because at the moment, I mean, now Pappy's come back. Hines is looking, you know, like a completely different proposition. I mean, just through the, you know, further lack of use. This one was fucking over, like, straight away, largely in part thanks to a multitude of errors from, uncharacteristically so, from Morgan Harper, who, you know, led in the first try, led in the second try by not tackling low enough. I can't remember, but I know he made two more bad mistakes. And at that point, they was just that fucking out of the game. I mean, they kind of gave themselves the best chance they had to get back into the game was when I think it was 18-0, and they put the kick in for Saab to score, took it to 18-6, and then they had a great set in defense after that. And then I think they dropped it immediately, though, after they sort of, or on their next set, which gave the Storm the ball at halfway, and that was pretty much fucking, that was the window was shut at that point. And like we talked about the game they played a month ago and how they made X amount of mistakes. I don't know what the final mistake was, mistake count was in this game, but if it wasn't higher, it was certainly much more at, like, crucial times, and ultimately, when you look at the Storm with like 60% possession,
and all nine errors they made in total.
19, was it? So
nine,
okay, so
nine.
On nine, okay, nine. So all of those nine were like fucking critical,
critical errors. 36 missed tackles doesn't help either.
Yeah, and basically, with only 40% of possession, and of that 40% of possession, it was like carting it out from the corner.
Yeah.
Like pretty much the entire time. They did not give themselves a fucking opportunity to even compete in the game, much less win it.
That's it.
And the Storm didn't have to do a fucking lot, really. I mean, the Storm just had to play their solid, you know, low mistake, you know, controlling game, a field position game, and which they did, you know, tremendously well. And Manly did the rest for them just by fucking, I mean, like literally before the game even fucking got started.
Yeah,
they were fucking, like, the first kickoff, they barely got it out of the in goal, just because it was bouncing around. And then obviously the early mistake, and, you know, for the set up that try down the left-hand side after Harper dropped it. And that was, yeah, and then that was fucking pretty much all she wrote. And the Storm, when they get, like, a reasonable lead, then, you know, especially this time of year, I mean, they know how to fucking strangle a game, you know, better than any other side in the comp, probably.
It's probably one of the unrealised downsides of such a big gap in quality between the sides. You know, we've spoken at length this year about the tiers of the teams and how you've got the top tier and then sort of tier 1.5 and then everyone else that's making up the eight. In that, Manly didn't really look to have an idea of how to get back into the game because they haven't been in that situation.
Like, they I just had the think beginning it was gone so quick. I think it was just gone so quickly that they just didn't. They didn't have a chance anyway.
That, you know what I mean? That's it. But they never.
And that's also like coupled with the changing of the rules over the last like week or two, where or last round or two, where just in time for the finals, it feels like that the referees have decided. Although the six again thing is a rule, they don't have to enforce it nearly as fucking rigorously as they like. Which and then when you've got teams that traditionally love the wrestle and lie on players and stuff, when they can accumulate like an 18-0 lead without doing much because they've been invited to all of their points, then they can just do their thing with impunity, and it makes it harder for teams to come back as well, you know?
Yeah, it does.
So,
the average play of the ball speed was high for both sides. And what hurt Manly as well were the 9 penalties.
Yeah.
Which were the majority of them were high shots and lazy arm high shots.
Yeah.
But
it's just crazy that, like, you know, the Felice Kaufusi put a dog shot on Tommy, you know, in the first, like, I think it was the first set or second set for nothing. Reuben Garrett copped one straight in the face as well with nothing, you know, happen. But yeah.
Yeah.
It is what it is. They weren't in it. They weren't even in it. They didn't give themselves the opportunity to be in it anyway. So
What was a go of the week with Tommy? Like he was.
Well, he had 4 guys on him every time he fucking touched the ball. That was the first thing.
And so, do you think that was more Melbourne keeping him out of the game, or something with him wasn't
I'll tell you, there were at least two variables that I noticed, if not three. The first one was Storm, you know, did what they did in the first game, and you know, Manly probably should have, you know, they should have figured out a way to deal with it after the first game, but they didn't. And what the Storm do is most sides, when you watch the games against Manly, sides are so scared of Tommy that what they'll do is they'll kick it over to Garrick or Saab. And so what happens is they cut it back up, they take the hit, then if Saab cuts it up, then Garrick will get in, he'll take the next one, and then Tommy will do something, or you know, the third tackle or second tackle.
Yeah.
What the Storm do, different to everyone else, is they'll kick it straight to Tommy, have the discipline to present a straight line in the chase for him, and then basically smash him and lie on him, first tackle, give away six again if they have to. Then that just starts to set off without that kind of forward momentum, and he doesn't get the opportunity to come back into it, you know, until a couple of tackles down the line. And so what they do, they take away some of the more dangerous time of the set when for Manly to score like full, you know, length of the field tries and spreads and that sort of stuff. That was point one. But point two, and look, I tell you, like, put the Paul Rudd fucking Hot Ones gift up there. Who would have thought, this is me saying this shit, but fuck me, Lachlan Croker. I've apologised to this man. I apologised to the man mid-season. Like I said, that he'd come good and he'd surprise me. But I need to double down on my thoughts about Lachlan Croker. His absence was so fucking critical to the side in this game. It fucking blew me away. I mean, Lawton is a hooker by trade, but he hasn't done a lot of hooking at Manly this year. He's mostly been a back rower and interchange back rower, and occasionally the last couple of weeks he's kind of been doing, you know, 10 to 15 minute stints towards the end of a game. Yep. But Croker is so switched on in the way that he brings Tommy into the attack that it was a huge loss. Also, he's kicking out of dummy half as well, where he's become, you know, not too bad at like getting 40-20s or near 40-20s and just providing another, you know, sort of sneak option for a kick when, you know, when the set's not going anywhere and that kind of thing. And the other thing with he was defensively, that channel there between, you know, sort of on the, just, you know, to the right of the middle.
Yep.
Lawton is, you know, he's an adequate defender, but the loss of Croker there, who barely misses a tackle ever,
yeah,
it fucked up that entire right hand side and left them like short. It left them short just to the right of the middle so many times, to the point where like normally it was like you'd almost have an extra man to Daly's left every time. And what was happening is because Lawton wasn't, I don't know if he was, you know, coming across enough, or he was having trouble holding it down the middle and couldn't get across.
Yep.
It just basically left like the, you know, this huge gap there where it was just like, you know, there's like Daly had to defend like two sides worth, you know, alone, because they weren't coming across, you know, like they have been all year, you know. So fingers crossed he's back. I hear he trained today and he'll be back this week. And I cannot fucking believe that I'm saying this, but he is actually fucking a crucial fucking cog in the machine. Yeah. And it was only on Friday night that I realized just how much. And now I see what Desi sees completely. And so, you know, which is a testament to, I guess, how much Froggy has improved over the course of the season.
There you go.
Glennie, you want to say something, mate?
I was impressed with Melbourne. You know, they obviously started really well, and they just, like you say, they didn't really need to do anything super spectacular. They just played like Melbourne. They controlled possession, yep, you know, to, you know, 60-40. They had the lion's share of field position, mm-hmm, and made the most of it, and just kicking game was impeccable. And you know, Manly didn't start well, but as you say, against most other sides they'll find a way back in, but they just got just strangled out of the game as the game wore on. So
I think the Storm might be the only team in the competition now, in the current state of the game where it is, where a decent lead, like, you know, like 3-try lead, is something that, you know, you can almost count on them to defend.
Yeah. Yep.
I will say that Lumi, he does some great things, and you see it quite often. New wingers for the Storm come in, they do some spectacular stuff, and then they can have some unhappy moments. And then Bellamy takes them away out of the side. I don't know what he does to them, beats them over the head or whatever, and they come back. They come back, you know, twice the player they were before. He's not, obviously not going to have that opportunity this year. So he's got a moment in him. Let's be honest.
It's funny you mentioned it though, because they actually warmed up in front of us, and when they were doing the little drills just for the, you know, the chip kicks and the high balls and stuff like that, he looked fucking shaky every single time. And I'm like, oh my god,
wow.
kick it to this fucking guy, because he's got the ability to be absolutely terrible. And you know, they basically did it like once. And yeah, for a try to Saab, and then obviously the second Saab try, which was the only saving grace in the entire game, I think, for me, was that, you know, despite everything, at least we didn't concede the most humiliating fucking try of the round.
Yeah, yeah.
And the steel conquering Storm.
Vunivalu, when he was at the Storm, had those sort of moments very early on when he came into first grade. George Jennings, he's had smatterings of them over his career for a couple of different clubs. You know, I just if you were going to say Melbourne have a weakness, peppering him with different types of kicks, if you can get a share of possession, is definitely one way to maybe find a chink in the armour.
Yep.
And I think that Fox is going to be back in time for their next game, isn't he? So that's probably it for Lumi for 2021.
Yeah, true.
That's it. On the socials, Clevo said, Melbourne Storm putting 40 on Manly in a finals game with a disrespectful field goal is delicious. There you go. Hunter said, see a couple of the Manly players talking to the Storm players laughing afterwards, probably saying any jobs going over there. Ian.
Unlikely.
Said, shame Tommy Turbo doesn't get to go up against the Cowboys or Tigers in the finals. Absolute myth.
Yeah, well, fucking
Darren,
I will be fucking taking a list of receipts for future reference.
Darren,
I'll get to every one of you cunts.
Said Harper's been watching Hodges' Origin debut for some how to play in big game tips. Phil said, Manly need to get more creative around the ruck. Melbourne are identifying the ball runner early and getting off their line quick to pressure them. That's pretty accurate.
That's the lack of Croker.
It did seem.
And that's because Croker wasn't there.
Yeah. Ryan said, the first episode I ever listened to was around 3 years ago when I was looking for something to listen to on my way to work. I had no idea it was an explicit content pod at this stage. I'll never forget Jay's question to Nathan regarding DCE. So when did the cunt turn into a turnstile? It's the first time I'd ever heard such honesty in a publicly accessible program. Since the glorious words were uttered, I haven't missed an episode. As a result, I have grown as a human being and as a member of society. It seems DCE has not made the same progress. I am one to fucking call out DCE's shortcomings, and fuck me, there are a lot of them. But I can't think of too many sevens, bar Cleary, that could have stopped Pappy in that situation when he decided to put the fucking toe down. There's nothing you're doing there.
And there was no one coming across inside to, you know, help close that gap either. It was just basically like...
The only saving grace, DCE did show his true colours and stuck a foot out to try and trip him. Because that's the sort of absolute dog player that he is.
Look, use the tools available to you. I mean, the NRL don't give you 12 weeks for tripping anymore. They only fine you $1,500, so yeah, why the fuck not?
Exactly. Joshua.
If you're not Saab cheating, you're not trying.
Saab deserves all the credit in the world. Yes, he's 7 foot tall and quick as hell, but he's also in the right place at the right time so often, which isn't an accident. That is absolutely correct. Lando, the Aussiest man alive, said, I think this is how everyone who's not a Manly fan or trying to dick ride one saw this game going.
Jesus.
Ben, unpopular opinion. Turbo is the new Mitch Moses.
Fuck.
All right, just Andrew, making notes.
Andrew, who is fucking your sensei. Prior to this game, Manly faced the prospect of having to beat the Storms twice to win the grand final. Now we only have to beat them once. I call that a win.
It's true. And the that's the funniest thing. Like, I was filthy after the game, but then the way the rest of the weekend sort of shook out, I was like, well, actually, it's the scenario that I wanted to see happen anyway,
yeah.
Which was get Penrith and Melbourne onto the same side of the draw before the grand final. And so we didn't have to go through those two sides until the grand final again. And then it turns out that's the way it's worked out. So
the Manly was shit, but sorry.
Sorry, go ahead.
Chris said Manly was shit, but Melbourne just slow the game down and lay all over the tackle in big games with a game of who blinks first with the refs. The ref blinks first almost always in the finals, and Bellamy knows it.
Correct. I would agree.
Nice.
Are we on to the next? Or you got one more?
On to the next.
All right. The elimination final, 5v8 on Saturday afternoon up there in North Queensland at the Abattoir. The Roosters 25 defeated the Titans 24. The Roosters tries through Matt Ikavalu, Teddy, Tupou and J-Moz. Kieran, 3 conversions, 1 penalty goal. Sam Walker with a field goal. The Titans side, they had their 24-point score through tries to Bo Firma, Big Tino, Brian Kelly and Jared Wallace. Fogarty, 3 conversions and a penalty goal. And that's it. Field goal, the difference.
Crazy finish. Crazy finish. I think 2 moments for this game, both Sam Walker and Patrick Herbert had career pivotal moments. Herbert for all the wrong reasons. Walker stepped up, kicked a field goal after only coming onto the field in the 70-odd minute. I think Herbert, obviously if he has his time again, he either gives the ball to Fifita or gives Corey Thompson a
pass it to a good finishing winger who's fucking completely unmarked.
See, that was what I thought the commentators were talking about. Why didn't he give it to Thompson? But they're all then raving about, oh, Fifita's waving his arms around. I'm like, what about the fucking Thompson open winger?
Yeah, I mean, Fifita would have been, you know, obviously he would have trampled as well. I mean, of course. But the open winger isn't, I mean, that's the safety first play that you train for.
Mm.
Every single session through the
especially
year.
When you're down by one.
Oh, yeah, but I mean, I want to rewind a little bit. Herbert is rightfully taking the brunt of the criticism just for his selection of what he did, hogging it and then trying to pass all too late. But by the same token, like it was Bo Firma down the left, wasn't it, who made that large break?
Yeah.
Like, learn to position your fucking support runner, mate. Like, he ran his support runner away from a position where he could have set him up for a simple catch and pass, and they would have scored in the left corner on that one run. And then they, you got the all or nothing play at the end there. They had tackles up their sleeve. They had some time up their sleeve as well. They didn't have to play. They didn't have to score on that one play then. They could have, had a shot, not chucked it over the sideline, gone back to the center, potted a field goal, extra time, But it was just horrible panic merchant stuff at the end of the game.
Inexperience, really, in a big game.
A team that's not experienced in, that has never seen big games like this, for such a long time. And even across their whole history, they've barely had, games like this at this kind of pressure cooker level anyway. But,
Roosters were still impressive, I thought. I thought they were really strong through the middle. Tedesco had another strong game. And, they fucking midway through the season, I was death riding the Chooks, thinking there's no possible way they could keep it going. And we've spoken about it at length in previous episodes, but they just keep finding a fucking way. Like any other side with that injury toll, is lucky to avoid the spoon. these guys are
correct.
Say what you want about. The Titans or whatever, but these guys are in week two of the finals, and you look at the injury toll and the critical players that have retired, and Luke Keary, arguably outside of Tedesco, probably their most important player, has barely played this year. it's fucking impressive. I've said it a number of times, but they just keep finding a way.
Yeah, I watched this game, and like it was a great game because of the closeness, I enjoyed watching this game because I knew that we had one of these guys next week, and like they both completed like 67%, and were genuinely terrible at times, and especially defensively. So yeah, I mean, I think like I'll give Roosters all the credit in the world for getting it done. And like in a field goal off, I mean, I'm going to back the Roosters 100% of the time against the Titans because in those key positions, they just had guys that just weren't, you know, up to those clutch moments. And it bit them hard in the end. And I hope that Herbert is okay because fuck me, like that's just one of those moments where like you just delete your social media accounts because the absolute shit that would have come his way. Well, I mean, it started immediately, didn't it? They had the camera right on Corey's face. Yeah. And then he's like, and I know it was fucking something cunt. I can't remember what it was, but.
That's bullshit cunts, is what he said.
Yeah. And just roasted him. I mean, he obviously learned that from Noffa in his time at the Tigers, but.
Was he talking to him, though? You got to remember, I think it was possible for these guys to be frustrated at a situation.
Yeah, it was after the fact when he did that one, and so that was general frustration. However, immediately when it happened, and Herbert's sort of on the ground by the try line, you know, under some players, and Corey sort of took two paces forwards towards that pack and just absolutely unloaded something as well.
Yeah,
so,
okay.
I'm not going to say he's wrong, regardless of what he said.
No. I mean, you know, in the heat of the moment, I mean, you can, you know, by all means, express your frustration. But man, like, just not enough is being made. I think of Bo Ferma. Like the way I can see, he was trying to position his support runner because he knew he obviously had Teddy coming up in front of him, but he ultimately ended up running away from him. And making it impossible it should have been a simple draw and pass, and then whoever, I can't remember who it was over there on his left that was looming up beside him, and it should have been an easy over into the left hand corner, and they didn't, and you know, this Patrick Herbert business, you know, needn't have happened, but like I said, inexperience, a lot of young players.
I think it was Philip Sammy.
Sammy, was it? Yeah. Okay, and like Sammy, you know, he could have done a better job getting himself, you know, where he needed to be. But, you know, it's all easy for us to say too in the... I mean, I think the Titans were... They were down that end planning on, you know, maybe their best hope was to somehow try and get it in the middle and take a crack from 40 metres-ish, you know, of a field goal. And the fact that a massive break, you know, it just came open for them too easily. And they, you know, to the point where they didn't know what to do with it when they got it.
Rush of blood, and again... Lack of big game experience, you know?
Yeah, and just I do feel for Titans fans though too, because that shit is legitimately like top tier heartbreaking shit. To, you know, the only way it could have been worse if it was the grand final. So thoughts and prayers to Titans people, and I don't know what else I'm going to say about it. You got anything else to say about it, fellas?
No, I'm good.
Not at all. Shane in the Facebook group said, "What a fucking game. Hard luck to the Titans, and they showed their creds today. If they can build on this for next year, they'll be a real threat." Stuart said, surely Corey Thompson is conditioned for that last pass to go over the sideline, acting like he's never been there before. Nigel said, "Sam Walker, superstar. # battlers of the comp, # the people's team." Jesus.
You're not.
Shane.
And shut up.
Said, "Herbert played a great game. Such a shame that all anyone will remember is not dishing that pass." Yeah, that is a roughie. Nortz said, "Titans played at a better level tonight. Still plenty of improvement needed, but next year is our year." At Scotty2Noddy on the tweet machine said, "We did it better than I thought we would. Kind of bummed, but that's footy." And we shall give the final word on this to the master of Titans fans. Hammers said, "That's the most heartbreaking loss in the Titans' short history. Feel for Herbert. He was close to our best all game. Hopefully this pain is fueled to be much better next year. Now, excuse me while I take this toaster for a bath.
Here for an offload, mate.
That's it.
Much like Corey Thompson was, but, you know, and if Patrick Herbert would like to learn how to give an offload, then go to nrl.com/state of mind. Hashtag that. the next game, we move on to the qualifying final, 2v3, the South Sydney Rabbitohs 16 defeat the Panthers 10 up there at the abattoir in front of a crowd of just over 18,000 in attendance. The Rabbitohs 16 tries to Cody Walker and Jackson Paulo. Reynolds, one conversion and three penalty goals. The Panthers 10 came through a try to Stephen Crichton, a conversion to Nathan Cleary and two penalty goals to Nathan Cleary. Off you go, Stepdad.
If you look at this game, the one thing that I've been touting all year as one of their greatest assets is exactly what they didn't fucking have, and that's patience. So all year, they've been the team, and it's happened on multiple occasions, even against South the last time, where early on, there's points scored, and they're able to compose themselves to rise as a group and to push back and to say, that's great, you've scored, but we're going to go up a gear here. Let's see how long you can stay with us for. And every time, it's not long. That's the answer to that question. How long can teams stay with Penrith for when they're at top gear? Not long. This game, and for whatever reason it was, be it that it was the finals, be it the disruption to fullback, who fucking knows? But there was almost zero patience in that side. And it presented itself in some odd places as well. Like I thought, you know, while Burton had a good game, he made a couple of decisions that on the surface when I first saw
them,
I thought he was out of sorts. Selfish decisions.
Just, I don't know if it was... And I'm not trying to insult him. Yeah. I don't know if it was the occasion, like you say, or just one of those nights. But it's just you just haven't seen him, like over the course of the last season or so, you haven't seen him make that many wrong decisions all year, and he made as many in this game.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
And obviously wrong decisions. It's not as if he took a chance and, well, you know what? That wasn't a wrong option. It just didn't come off.
I think it was because it was just a larger part of like the entire system of panic that like I haven't seen him panic like that since probably the grand final last year, and it was like Luai is making mistakes. Nothing's happening for Cleary either. I think Burton's wrong decisions. I think they all and the longer the game went, and it only really sort of crept in mostly after that try to Paulo to give South a lead again. And it just seemed like from that moment on, they were in this frantic catch-up mode. And I think that things weren't working, so people were trying to take shit into their own hands and make something happen, and it just never did.
Yeah. Like, they played the last 10 minutes of that game.
Yeah, exactly.
Five times
it was like
over.
A solid 30 minutes of, like, just, like, panic and footy. And you had things like Crichton coming from the back and trying to dish flick pass to Staines who again not good and dropping it 30 meters out and then the Souths reload again
.
And they had great opportunities to even though like straight I think it was straight after the Rabbitohs scored that try and they're leading 16-10 and Cleary put that bomb down and like AJ just drops it cold. And it was then you go boom. Well, but then and the Panthers they set up exactly the way they wanted. They executed it pretty well. They had a huge overlap over on the left hand side, but then on their left hand side, the Rabbits' desire and like I mean, particularly in that incident, like their defense was like almost fucking inspirational. The way that Toa is usually the guy that's going to fucking carry guys over the line or duck under and sort of scoot out the other side and score a try, and especially when there was such a large overlap. But the fact that they had this massive overlap and they still seemed like they had four guys carting him over the sideline.
I thought Crichton he had a couple of errors. I thought given the change of position as well, I know he has played a fair amount of fullback, but thought he was one of Penrith's best. And for South, Jai Arrow.
I think that's the best game Jai Arrow's ever played.
I think he changed the course of the game when he came on.
Yeah.
He certainly did. But in saying that, take nothing away from, like, South's forward pack really got in there and were on top early. So,
Burgess also, yeah.
You know, Burgess. That was, again, probably one of the best games you've seen Arrow play. That was probably one of the better Burgess performances seen as well.
Could you imagine the South dynasty?
Sorry, mate?
If they had have managed to time the peaks of the Burgesses more closely together, because the way they've gone, I mean, Luke never had a peak because he was fucking scrub, but you take the other three, Sam was like dominant, like, you know, 2014. And then when injuries caught up to him a little bit and his hands started to let him down, George was unstoppable. George disappears. Now Tom's unstoppable. Like, can you imagine if they had have got those three together at the same time? Like, they would have won fucking three comps in a row. But
Jesus.
But yeah, he was excellent as well. Was Tommy, but South were just excellent in defense. Like, just their defense was just like, I don't even think their attack came together that well. To be honest,
I think that's really what rattled Penrith a bit, and that's what maybe started the onset of as you guys said, the panic. Is that they're certainly Luai and Cleary are so adept at reading a game and identifying what the defense is going to give them and working to that and exploiting that. Whereas
I would have liked to have seen them, you know, tick on and be like, ah, oh, okay, they're rushing up. So we're going to kick on the third a bunch of times. They're expending so much energy rushing up that we're going to kick on the third and just turn these big cunts around. And we're just going to do that three or four sets in a row. And they proved it last time. Like, when they played South, there's probably no other highly ranked team that deals as poorly with continued pressure as South does because it gets in their fucking head. You know? And after this game, the shining light at the end of it, you know, and fuck it, it's always going to be better to win the first week of the finals, get your week off, whatever it is. Most of our players, or a lot of our important players, have had some pretty lengthy stints off this year, so it's not like they're burnt out. So the week off may not be the issue that it previously would have been. And that was close to the worst game that unit has played all year. I know there were some losses earlier on when, you know, there were Origin people missing or injuries or whatever it was. But as a team where most of your first grade squad was available to you, that was about the worst performance they've put in, and they still nearly got it. So as long as the attitudes can be fixed and as long as that patience can be drilled back in before next week, I don't think there's too
many problems. I don't think they have much to worry about. So I think next week is not the problem for them. It's the week after. And I just wonder, with some of the performances of the sides that we saw, I just wonder if it's I mean, like you said, like Panthers had players on the sidelines a bit, so you wouldn't think that they'd be, you know, they'd be burned out or anything like that. But they fucking looked it a bit, to be honest. Whereas the Storm, Bellamy's a master at resting players, and he's been doing it for the last couple of weeks, and they looked fresh.
I'm not sure it was burned out in terms of fatigue. I'm seriously just they didn't have a plan for what Souths took to them.
Yeah,
I think that was the issue, not so much burnout. But
what?
Anyway, on the socials on that one, if the socials want to load. No, the socials don't want to load. Oh, here we are, Dave. Said, not one to rate Campbell Graham, but he kept To'o in his pocket all game. Cleary was as present as Turbo was in last night's game. South deserved the win.
What'd you guys make it a press conference?
Wily old bastard Uncle
press Graham. Conferences.
I loved it. I was thoroughly entertained.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They all said exactly what they had to say.
Ivan, you know, he the journalist fucking baited him into it and he gave him what they wanted. So I was a little bit, ill-disciplined on his behalf. I mean, obviously he didn't say anything too bad or anything that, going to cost him any bucks. But he did sort of – what he did do, he bit on that shit that Wayne was talking about, which just gives, that sort of shit gives Wayne another 10 years of his life. I mean, that's how he sustains his fucking existence. Yeah, and the way that the things that Ivan went off about in his press conference – it was almost as if Wayne's conference had been first. Like he just played into the script of what Wayne wanted to happen. So it just went very badly for him overall. Just in terms of is it going to affect anything? Of course, it's not going to affect anything. I mean, he said he had his say. It's not going to affect shit. Wayne, said, well, this is how it is. I mean, I agree with Ivan, and it's the way it is. And, it's not me. I don't do it. I mean, I can't remember what he said, but he's like, he'd only ever, contacted the referees. Like, he used to do it a lot back in the day, but then they stopped answering his calls. So he just stopped and he's only done it twice since or something, But, look, it's all good theatre, I think.
Yeah. Fuck yeah. Timothy, so we didn't show up tonight. Not enough run, too many mistakes. Now we have to do it the hard way. That ground ripped up more than a Dragons player contract.
Yeah, after we last said, and we said barbecue. That. Yeah, and we did, and we said it that did was look
fucking
happen.
Pretty. I mean, dodgy we saw it the week before. Yeah. Nathan said, was playing a full strength team against the Eels the right call? Two injuries from that game brought in the Plotters, Staines, and Isaac.
How the narrative's changed on fucking Staines over the last 12 months.
Rishi. Yeah. Rishi said, my team doesn't play well. The opposition does. We lose the game by 6. Calculus checks out. At Joseph Palazzi on Twitter, said a double-ended Mars bar for Nate and Jay while Glenn chokes himself and watches in the corner. Yeah. This weekend,
if it was my design, well, Glenn, featured my fucking team.
Glennie, if this week was your, if this weekend was your design, I want to give you a unreserved thanks. On behalf, I think I can speak for Stepdad when I thank you on his behalf as well.
Start speaking for everything.
Thank you for our teams being in week 2 of the finals, Glennie. Appreciate it, mate.
You're welcome.
That was amazing. Lambretta said Penrith have spent 2 years defining how not to panic under pressure. Then last night they forgot all the lessons they had been handing out and tried to score every time half a chance presented itself. Poor execution did the rest. That's a pretty apt.
Finally, the elimination final 6v7 on Sunday at the farm, the farmiest farm they ever farmed in Rockhampton there at Brown Park. The Eels 28 defeated the Knights 20. The Eels 28 came through a double to Blake Ferguson, Wanga Blake, Mitch Moses, and Penasini also with tries, Moses 4 conversions. The Knights 20 came through a hat trick to Inari Tuala, Heimel Hunt with the other one, and Clifford 2 of 4 conversions. Glennie.
I thought,
what did you think of this one, Glennie?
To win, I thought the Knights really needed Mitchell Pearce and Caelan Ponga to impose themselves on the game, and they really didn't do enough of it. And when Parramatta came for them, they wilted. And when you give a flat track bully like Mitchell Moses the flattest of fucking flat tracks to work with, that's the end result. I think his running game, he was obviously, part of their game plan was quite obviously for him to run the ball more. And he can be a very damaging runner when given time and space. And if he's not knocked on his ass often and early, his confidence grows. And that's been the case over the entire course of his career. I think Newcastle allowed Moses to dictate terms to them, and if you do that, he's good enough to beat them. But I would have expected, to be honest, I expected more from Mitchell Pearce in particular, given his experience, and to really drag Parramatta into a grind, and hold them in a grind with his kicking game, and then. Equally, I would have expected Caelan Ponga to be able to jump on the back of that and throw some individual pieces of brilliance, and that's probably a recipe where Newcastle can come away with a win. But unfortunately, they just didn't get there.
Do you now accept, now that the season is over, that perhaps you were dick riding the Knights too hard and they weren't the team you thought they were? Despite what stepdad and myself was telling you over the past two or three weeks when you were fucking high on their fumes,
I feel like the Knights have got the pieces. But it's one thing to have the pieces, but you need to put them in place and have them working effectively. And unfortunately, they didn't do it.
Hey, so stepdad, when you're watching this game. When I was watching it, I got the same feeling that I got watching the Saturday games, you know, for Manly's behalf. I thought, wow, Panthers are going to, like, doesn't matter. Whoever comes out of this game is going to get absolutely punished because they were just,
there were just
far too many lapses for both of these teams. It didn't matter which one. I mean, it's the contrasts and the similarities, the Parramatta Eels right hand side defence with Blake Ferguson just got fucking exposed a couple of times, really poorly exposed a couple of times. But on the same note, so did the Knights down that same side. You know what I mean? And then you had the two fullbacks that are, you know, the two massively hot fullbacks. You've got Gutho on the Eels side, who was terrific in defence but can't attack. Can't attack. And then you've got Ponga on the other side, who's, you know, terrific in attack and cannot defend. It was a nice, exciting game the way it panned out, especially the way it looked like the Eels were running away with it. And then when the Knights managed to bang those two tries on Ferguson in quick succession, it certainly made for an exciting, you know, sort of climax. And we had a little bit of chaos at the end there with the penalty try. I suppose we should talk about that. Yeah. I mean, I thought that I had 100% zero issues with any of that.
Yeah, I was okay with it. I think they got it right.
Yep. Yep.
Yeah. But it's definitely one of those things, and this is just by the nature of penalty tries. When the bunker are making an assumption on the likelihood of someone scoring, that's where it falls down. Because you're no longer saying, I like the obstruction rule, where it is quite simply the ball was caught on the inside shoulder. Like that is exactly. You look at that and you go, okay, fuck. And you can whinge that, oh, the defense wasn't impeded at all. There was nothing wrong with that. Yada yada. However, the rule is the ball can't be caught on the inside shoulder. When you get down to the fact of, in our opinion,
the thing is, he doesn't have to definitely have scored anyway. That's not part of the criteria. But the thing is, Pennacini, he had the ball, would have had the ball had he not been tackled around the legs. He would have been probably, 2 metres out with the ball bounced straight into his breadbasket. And the thing that really killed them, once again, Callum Ponga's defence, he had overrun the play already and hadn't started to turn around by the time Pennacini got the ball, there was no one coming through on the inside anywhere near it either. So all you were left with was an absolute gaping hole.
Yeah, that's it.
And a player that, you know, got to the ball despite being tackled around the legs and, you know, almost got it anyway. So this was one of the more cut and dried ones, I think. And the only you know, real complaining I saw about it was the kick from Gutho, but, you know, we had the Billy Slater clause for, you know, drop kicking, as long as they determine it, you know, as long as it looks like the intention is to kick the ball, it can hit the ground first and be like a drop kick, and that's fine. So yeah, I had no problem with any aspect of that, and, you know, and look, I wanted the Eels to lose, but you got to hand it to them, they got it done. But they definitely were looking more like the Eels of August than they were the ones that really put it to the Storm a couple of weeks ago.
Yeah, true. Socials on that one. Chris said, credit to Newcastle fans. You deserve to lose like that.
Fuck them kids.
One of the Mitchell said, I give credit to the Newcastle cucks, but just not good enough to take down the King, baby. Hashtag
Gutho fucking Kingdom. Take your toaster for a bath, lad.
Paul
I'm in here for an offload, mate.
So what a clash of the fullbacks. Gutho good under a high ball, but nowhere in attack.
Still not Ponga good enough good in attack, attack though. Nowhere in Ponga, I mean, just not enough involvement. And I think you were speaking to that like in previous weeks as well, Glennie.
And here's the thing. When you look at how Pappy injected himself into that game at exactly the right moment compared to Ponga, and their weapons are almost identical in that it's just that insane acceleration. The way they go from a standing start or a jog to full pelt is fucking mind-boggling, both of them.
He just wants the ball more, to me. It seems he's just always, and it's a bit like Tedesco, he's always where the ball is. Ponga is not always where the fucking ball is. That's the problem.
Well, it's basic fullback. It really is. Little Buffalo said, Eels versus Knights, as a Para fan, I would have been happy with a 10-minute sin bin. Lots of weird decisions on this game. How does
he stay on the paddock? Because when he got up, like he was clearly knocked the fuck,
proper staggered.
And he sort of got up and sort of staggered like straight into one of his teammates. Like he was, I thought one of these HIA like instant off sort of criterias was if they're exhibiting like, like signs of, disorientation or whatever, that's immediately, you kind of, it's not even an on-field check. It's just like you're off to be checked at that point. So he had a tough day. He would have had a sore head.
Yeah.
After that game, because he got that knockout blow, but he took some big shots after as well.
Yeah, he did.
It's the games, boys.
That's that.
It's the games. So I guess on that note, it's full time for episode 433. Thanks for listening, everyone. And make sure you head to thisweekinleague.com/links to find links to our various social media communities, Patreon, and much more. But speaking of Patreon, patreon.com/TwillNation. Get in there, join the fun, additional episodes every week and extra goodies as well. So we'd love to have you in there. And of course, if you'd like to support the show, you can also drop us a rating and review on Apple Podcasts. Tell a friend, get to our Facebook community at the aforementioned link, and invite a friend. Anything else you want to add, boys?
Speaking of Apple reviews,
yes.
We successfully gave away our last Manscaped weed whacker.
Yep. I sent that probably about a week ago too, so there'll be weeds being whacked as we speak.
Followers. So now this one is going to be not judged randomly, but judged on talent. So from here on in, from this day, we're going to run this for what do we got left of the finals? 3 weeks?
Yeah.
You got, 3 more weeks. Yep.
Lovely. To the best iTunes review as voted by us.
Yep.
Now, the way around it, if you've already left an iTunes review, which you can't do too, is to fucking suck it up and realize that life's not fair.
No, you can also, if you update a previous review, it'll come back in at the, dated at the new date. So if you've done one in the past, you can update it. But yeah, and just keep in mind, sometimes these reviews take... We'll announce the winner on the grand final episode, just because sometimes these reviews take a week or so to show up. So it'll give people a chance. Everyone the best chance possible for it to show up, so we actually see it.
And if your iTunes store is a different country to Australia, let us know that you have written a review.
Yeah.
Because we don't get notified of that.
Yep. And feel free to send us a screenshot of it or whatever, to make it easier.
Fuck yeah, do that. How good.
Awesome. All right, nice. We won't look at the tipping this week. I'll look at it on Wednesday and see how things are going there, and should just almost be about decided. But anything else, fellas, before we pull the pin?
That's it.
Us.
All right, on that note, we'll talk to you fellas on Wednesday.
See ya.
Later.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.